The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
The opinions expressed by the guests of this show do not necessarily express the opinions of Dr. Weinerman or Weinerman Pain and Wellness.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
Welcome to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, Philadelphia's premier physical therapy and pain management facility. Here are your hosts, Blake Rosen and Dr. Albert Talone.
It is a gorgeous Tuesday afternoon in the Delaware Valley, and we welcome everyone into the Pain and Wellness Hour here on 860 AM WWDB, presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, serious doctors for serious injuries. Along with J-Doc in the studio, I'm Joe Krause, coming to you on a great Tuesday afternoon. All is good, J-Doc, in Philadelphia, as the Delaware Valley enjoys the holiday season. The Eagles are 10-1 on their way to the Super Bowl, and all is good this time of the year.
Absolutely. Certainly a beautiful day, like you said, in the Delaware Valley, and great Thanksgiving weekend, and of course, capped off by the Eagles' big W, an absolute torching this past weekend. And so, look, 10-1, I'm afraid, you know, I'm thinking, and just like everybody is in the Delaware Valley, afraid to, you know, just one game at a time. All the cliches apply. Don't want to jinx ourselves or anything like that, but certainly a fantastic way to end last week and begin this week.
All right, all good stuff and a great show lined up for you today. Dr. Albert Talone is in studio today. Hypertension is going to be the subject or the topic of conversation. What is it, Doc? At least give us that teaser here in the opening segment, and then we'll deal with all of that when we bring in a little bit later on the program.
Yes, we're going to talk about essential hypertension, Joe, and it's a common medical problem, and since the National Commission has redefined normal blood pressure recently, more people are going to find themselves on blood pressure medication. So we're going to talk about that and the new findings.
All right, all good stuff. We may bring you in a little bit. We may bring you in sooner than later in the big show as we wait for Dr. Michael Polino, who's going to be part of the broadcast today. J-Doc Michael Polino is going to talk about better food, better health, and those two parts of the recipe that make for a better life, I assume.
Absolutely. Mike provides, Dr. Michael Polino provides some great information every week in our wellness segment. And certainly, you know, we're going to talk about things that lead to a better lifestyle and a better, you know, a longer, healthier life. So, and
Valerie Petticone, Danielle Duffy, both in studio with us here early today. In preparation for today's broadcast from Spivak and Spivak, we're going to have continued conversation with Valerie and Danielle, and we're all zeroing in on that personal injury and how we can provide information for those who do end up getting injured, J-Doc. Yeah. We're a very good resource for that.
I mean, yeah, listen, we bring the best of the best in here. And you know, we're excited about what we bring to the table every week. So I'm looking forward to it. We got some great conversations with our friends from Spivak and Spivak.
Let's jump around, go back to Dr. Talone, who is with us, and we'll begin with him. We'll switch the order, Doc. I hope you don't mind that we do that. We'll bring Dr. Michael Polino in at the tail end of the program, and we'll bring you into the conversation. We started the show just a couple of minutes ago about hypertension. As I sit here across from you in the WWDB studios, do I have hypertension? Can you tell? What is it? How do you get it?
Hypertension is best known to folks as high blood pressure. There's primary hypertension and secondary hypertension. Primary hypertension, or also known as essential hypertension, is the most common form, which means there is no known cause. We don't understand hypertension mechanisms fully. We have certain models, vascular models, kidney models that we look at, and we treat from that with medications. Secondary hypertension is if you have kidney disease or underlying serious metabolic diseases, diabetes, it could be a culprit in formation of the hypertension, or certain hormonal problems, endocrine problems, or things of that nature.
Doc, you obviously talk about high blood pressure. Can it be hereditary?
Yes, it can be hereditary. It's usually, we always ask family members suffer from it. How old were they when they found out that they had hypertension, high blood pressure, And, you know, quite a few Americans are diagnosed with this every year and are treated.
Now, when you talk about high blood pressure, because when I get tested, and I'm pretty hyper, everybody knows me, right? But for some reason, my father had it, but I don't have it. And, but my wife does, and it gets consistent. So, you know, can it also be situational? In other words, you come in from a stressful day, your high blood pressure could, be spiking. Can it be situational, for some people, and actually physical for other people?
Well, stress is a big factor. You're absolutely right, Joe. Situational high blood pressure. However, that's not good either. You know, if you react all the time with adrenaline and, get upset and anxious and your blood pressure soars, that's not good. It should go right back down. The question is, does it go right back down? How often is this spiking all day long?
Got it.
That's not good for you.
So in other words, when somebody has a consistent, actual hypertension, situations will spike it. Sometimes they may be in the middle of a very calm day and they still have high blood pressure. But the difference, if I'm reading you right, is somebody who doesn't typically have hypertension, when they go through a stressful day.
Well, you either have it or you don't.
Well,
right?
well, just give me, bear with me for one second. You get in a car accident and you don't have hypertension. Your blood pressure may spike because of that situation, but it should go back down, after the trauma ends. Whereas if you have hypertension as a condition, you don't need a traumatic situation or extra or stress to spike it. It is regularly higher than it should be.
Yes, we monitor blood pressures at the facility in Center City. We take blood pressures all the time. Every admission, there's a blood pressure. Every time they come in for a treatment, there's a blood pressure. We watch that closely because we diagnose de novo new patients with hypertension that way and refer them on to their primary care physicians. And also we look at traumatic influences in initiating a change in their blood pressure. Has something happened? Is there a secondary cause? So we look for that.
Right. And so like a stressful situation might be something like if your broadcasting partner interrupts you and tells you, you're not, you're wrong about something.
I'm just anxiety, asking.
My blood pressure's spiking through.
I can't believe you don't have high blood pressure.
I don't. It's amazing.
That's amazing.
It?
Yeah.
It is. It's incredible. But tell us what a normal blood pressure would be and give us an example what high blood pressure might, look like in 120 over 80 or... Yeah.
Well, we have to thank President John Kennedy years ago. His father suffered with hypertension, high blood pressure. And medical treatment back then was not
suspect.
All that good. It was suspect, primitive. And when his father had a major stroke and was totally debilitated from it, he moved the National Institute of Health to begin heavy research onto treatment causation of hypertension. And today, we're the benefactors of that research with medications from the pharmaceutical industry. And we can treat blood pressure today adequately. And of course, there's a joint commission, a national commission, that constantly monitors what is a normal blood pressure. Now, it wasn't that long ago that 140 over 90 was considered to be normal blood pressure. That is no longer true. The systolic or the upper number, the numerator number, is now considered to be 130. So we have to treat that pressure at 130. And, of course, the lower number, the denominator, your diastolic pressure, has to be below 90. And it has to be around in the 80s.
So, why is that number now 130?
Well, they constantly look at the data, and the insurance companies are very good at that, so they collect a large amount of data. And we constantly watch longevity and complications of medical illnesses. Mm-hmm. And blood pressure is one of the most common parameters that we measure all the time. Every time you go for a physical, an insurance physical, you see a doctor. You go for treatments. They're constantly monitoring blood pressure because blood pressure is a significant factor in longevity. The lower your blood pressure, the longer you live. That's a very important factor. So that number is flexible. It's changing. It's variable based on outcomes.
What would a blood pressure be you know, if, in regards to being, you know, in the number, the formula, where you think that somebody, you better get to the emergency room.
Well, if you're having symptoms, you're dizzy, you feel weak, you have a bad headache, you get your blood pressure checked, and it's abnormally high, there are levels of severe, moderate, and mild hypertension. So, but if you feel poorly and your blood pressure has been elevated in the past, you should get it checked. You can go to the emergency room. You can go to your primary care physician. But it's picked up at regular checkups. That's why you should have someone look at you once in a while and check your pressure.
What can happen if your blood pressure, if you don't manage your blood pressure properly? Give me some of the potential, you know, downfalls.
Stroke. Can have a very serious stroke, debilitating stroke, can trigger a heart attack, a debilitating heart attack. And it also is very difficult on the kidney system. If you're left untreated for many years, you could wind up on dialysis, which nobody is interested in doing that, you know, at a younger age. I mean, I've seen people in their 40s and 50s wind up on dialysis by having untreated blood pressure because of the pressure on the kidneys. The target organs are brain, heart, and the kidneys.
How would somebody know if they had hypertension?
See a nurse, see a practitioner, a physician, physician assistant. Whenever there's a place to get your blood pressure checked, get your blood pressure checked. Because you won't know when it happens. You can't feel it. There are no symptoms until it's very severe and it's left untreated.
How about managing it?
Management is very good today. We have very good medications that do not affect your lifestyle to a large extent. They're very well tolerated. As I said, National Institute of Health, under the Kennedy Initiative years ago, and the pharmaceutical industry have worked, I think, very hard at doing things that are tolerable and satisfactory. You can do it in your everyday life. It's not going to complicate your life.
And Dr. Albert Talone joining us here on the Pain and Wellness Hour. Doc, just for some clarity and for some simplicity, 10 people in a room, 5 of the 10 have hypertension, 6 of the 10. Is there an average out there that the medical community assumes to be accurate?
Not really. I don't think we label it that way. It's individual. It's common. Hypertension is common. And it may strike at any age. You know, I've seen people in their late teens, 20s and 30s. So, I mean, you could be normal in your 30s and have abnormal in your 50s. So, it is more common as you get older, but it can strike at any time, and you have to have your blood pressure checked. Of course, salt, you know, and our diets have a lot to do with it. You know, there's a lot of passive salt. I ask patients all the time, are you eating salt? They said no. But then again, we use condiments, beverages, and preservative foods are rich in sodium.
What about medication, Doc?
In what way, Joe?
Well, I mean, is there medication that can control somebody who's, if somebody has consistently high blood pressure?
Yes, yes. There are consistent medications that can be taken on a regular basis and with great safety every day and have a wide safety margin and can be monitored. And there's really good alternatives to treatment.
So if you have it, today it can be managed to the point where you can lead a normal lifespan if you manage it properly.
Yes, we can't cure hypertension. We can control hypertension. The goal of treatment is to control you, to put you at 130 over 80 or lower, as low as you can tolerate it, because that's best. You know, there's no magic number. It's individual. You have to look at the individual, what they can tolerate with medications. But you have to get them. The goal is the 130 over 80. That's the new goal.
All right.
Good information from Dr. Albert Talone here on the Pain and Wellness Hour. We're all presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Remember the name. Memorize the phone number, 215-988-9503. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, serious doctors for serious injuries. Well done, Doc. Appreciate you kicking off the show today. Dr. Michael Polino will be along on the backside of the show with better food and better health. We'll transition into our first commercial break. When we come back, Valerie Petticone, Danielle Duffy. You'll meet them both. Back after the break.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, If you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainandWellness.com.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Pain and Wellness Hour as we broadcast to you today on 860 AM WWDB. And every Tuesday, we're here from noon to 1 p.m. If you miss any of the information that we provide on the show, always available, JDoc, in the podcast. And I've got it. I'm going to go back and listen to you say in that podcast that you do not have high blood pressure.
It is incredible. And sometimes I've gotten my blood pressure tested after an argument.
Just to be
with
sure,
my,
just to verify you've done that?
Well, coincidentally, so I've gotten an argument with my wife, which has only happened 1,000 or 2,000 times over the last 30 years. And, you know, it's been up a little bit, but nothing, you know, it's stayed consistent. So, you know, typically, though, when it really spikes is when I got to go on a broadcast, and I know it's a topic where I'm a little, you know, shaky or something like that, like sports or something like that. Or no, when you're shaky, like sports. Yeah, right. So I have to carry you through that. But right. Thank God we're not talking sports today.
All good. Your world, J-Doc. I'm just living in it today.
Just having a little fun
today. I'm just
today.
Living in it for the next 45 minutes.
All right. So we want to welcome Valerie Petticone and Danielle Duffy of Spivak and Spivak. They're the managers of the personal injury third-party department and at Spivak and Spivak. And first of all, Danielle, welcome. It's your first time on the broadcast.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you, Valerie. Great to have you back.
Thank you.
So this is by popular demand. We had millions and millions and millions of letters, and by popular demand, here we are. First of all, what is so you're the managers of the personal injury third party department. What does that mean?
Yeah, I don't think that means anything to anybody listening, probably. So what we are is trial attorneys, and I liked your intro music because I think that is what we are. We are helpers, and we help people who have been injured in accidents, and that's all we do. That's our entire focus.
So when you talk about personal injuries, the three facets we talked about before the broadcast, motor vehicles, slip and falls, third-party construction. What's that?
Dog bites.
Let's talk about, let's see what we want to talk about first. First of all, let's talk about the firm a little bit. The firm has a scope of personal injury, but also does workers' compensation. And so you really are a, you know, multifaceted firm. And how does that kind of benefit a client who may, and we're going to get in, we'll talk about motor vehicle accidents, but how does it benefit a client when they can go to a firm and get the, you know, get, if they've had a third party construction case, which entails workers' compensation and personal injury?
We can help them with their work benefits, because sometimes when they're on the job, there's a workers' there's obviously a workers' compensation claim, but a lot of times there's third party claims that are attached to that. So you have the benefit of working up all the claims under one umbrella, which is very helpful.
So Valley, do you find that when you first meet a client or a potential client or an individual who falls into one of the categories that JDOC referenced, do you find that they don't know or understand a lot about what they're about to go through? And that sometimes creates, not issues, but certainly challenges. The unknown sometimes forces people to stay hidden, I think.
Yes, a lot of times they don't even realize that when they're hurt on the job and they come to us for workers' compensation, that there is a claim, an underlying third-party claim, and we're able to walk them through the system and explain the process and maximize all of their claims and benefits, so it helps them ultimately in the end get why they're coming there. And like Danielle said, we're helpers, we're trying to help them, and we do a good job at that.
And those cases can affect one another, right? In other words, the representation of a work comp case can also affect, you know, the way it's handled, a personal injury case.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for people who are injured on the job, coming to our firm is a good thing for them because they get the coordinated efforts of both sides of what we do. So they may come thinking, well, I only can make this workers' compensation claim, but really there's actually somebody else that they can make a claim against also, and that's what we would help them with. And we're able to coordinate the entirety of the case as opposed to going to two different law firms, which would be a lot more difficult for them. So in a way, it sort of streamlines the process and everybody's on the same page and working together for the client's benefit.
Okay, so
Danielle, for the client to understand? I didn't mean to cut you off, but is that easy for them to get, for the individual to get?
Do you mean when they come to see us? Is that
yeah?
Easy?
Just when you go through that initial consultation or that initial conversation, there's a time for, as the individual, who they're going to process all of that. I'm just curious. Are they more comfortable? Do they get it?
I think that people get it, but I think they don't come in knowing mm-hmm. what's out there. So I think that they get it once they hear it, but they don't. People, I think, generally aren't looking to sue other people, so it's not something on their radar to know how to work the system or make the claims that are beneficial to them. So when they come to us and we can help guide them through it, I think that's best for them, and I think they're more satisfied that way, knowing that everything's handled by one firm.
Yeah, and that's one of the, you know, we talk often on this show about clients and how, like you said, they don't know. Most of them don't know when they get injured on the job, nor should they. Like you said, most of them aren't looking to sue anybody. They're not looking to even take off of work. But so when they come in, they don't know if the employer's met the burden require them to go to the panel doctor, and they don't know. So the difference between workers' comp and personal injury. So for example, when somebody gets hurt on a job, you could have accidentally hit yourself. It doesn't have to be somebody else's fault. However, you might walk into a hole that another subcontractor, you know, dug, and that is a totally different ball game. So, I mean, you know, there's got to be a relief for when somebody comes in and says, man, not only did I not understand what we're talking about, I'm relieved that you guys do it both and that I don't have to go somewhere else because it's nerve-wracking enough just being here.
I think that's absolutely right. And generally when I'm meeting with a client, I think of my own mother and father who are workers, and they would have no idea what to do if they got injured on the job. So, sure. I mean, I sort of look at it through that perspective. We do this every day, so we're looking at it with a different eye. But folks who are workers want to be workers. They don't want to be injured and have to come see a lawyer. So whatever we can do to make it easier for them, that's what we try and do.
So, you know, it's interesting to say that, you know, you bet your mother and father. So I did a little research, and I know that you've had a background in social work, and what's that?
The research.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's not, you're not going to be on 2020. This is not going to be an actual inquiry.
That's good to know.
That's our next show. So you know, you obtained your master's degree in social work, you know, your career has been motivated with a desire to help others, and so at what point? did you know that you wanted to, you know, help injury victims?
I don't think that this is where I thought things were going, but I think that's often how life works out. My career started out in child welfare, so I was helping kids who were abused. That's what I was doing, and that's why I got my master's in social work. But this was a natural progression from that. Those were people without a voice, and most of the time people who are involved in accidents and who come to see us are without a voice. These are not people who have lawyers on retainer that they can go and speak to if they get into an accident. We're helping people just like my mom and dad, who have never used a lawyer before in most cases. So I think it was a natural progression for me, and I love this work, and I think it's the most important work we can do is to help people who wouldn't otherwise have access to the help.
Who can't help themselves in many cases. And the reason I think it's relevant is because listeners want to know who they're dealing with. We are listenership, and you know, once they want to know the individual that we're presenting to them. And I found it just amazing because it, you know, I found, you know, with your background in social work and you know, just a pension to help people is extremely important. Let's kind of move a little bit towards some of the areas of law. We talk about, we'll talk about slip and fall. I know that, what is a slip and fall?
Slip and falls, you're generally just what the premise is liability.
Yeah.
Somebody's out, they're walking, they trip over an unleveled sidewalk, or they can be in a supermarket and they slip on a banana peel. I mean, there's a variety of different that comes under premises liability. One of it's slip and fall.
Okay, so and from what I understand, we talked about a little while ago. You handled a case that was in the legal. It was
legal intelligencer.
Right, legal intelligencer. I'd have been a while on the intelligencer. And it was a groundbreaking type of a case, and it involved. What was that term that we talked about earlier today?
So in all slip and fall cases, and oftentimes even in motor vehicles, there's the issue of spoliation of evidence and preserving evidence. And we had a case that came in our firm that Danielle will tell you about, where she, I'll let her talk about how the importance is of documenting and obtaining evidence from the beginning.
Yeah, that was a major case, and obviously you got a lot of publicity from it. Tell me what that is.
Yeah, I mean, that case was the epitome of the every man against the big corporation. Essentially, my client was somebody who lived on a very limited income, and he just was getting by, and he was just walking in the city one day with a friend of his, and there was an upraised and broken and destroyed grate along the side of a very fancy apartment building. And he tripped and fell over that and sustained serious injuries to his arm. He developed a blood infection from the injuries. But the main issue in the case that Valerie's talking about is that there was a camera directly pointed on where this accident happened. And despite our immediate notice to the property owner to retain that video, it was destroyed and not protected. And so those are things that I think if you just have an accident, you're not thinking about that.
Right.
That's what a lawyer thinks about to do and to save. And that was a huge issue in our case because they were saying this never happened or it didn't happen the way that you said it did. And we were able to say, jury, they had a video of it. They would be able to back up what they're telling you about how this accident did or didn't happen, and yet they don't have it here for you. And so that really is a big, that was a big turning point in our case. And it's very, I think, impactful to a jury to hear that fancy business didn't know how to retain their own surveillance video and the evidence was missing.
Danielle Duffy is in studio with us along with Valerie Petticone. Go ahead, Valerie, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
I was just going to say the one piece of evidence that can exonerate someone should be retained, and when they don't, there's a negative inference drawn from that, and that's what Danielle was able to prevail on.
We'll continue our conversation with Danielle and Valerie after we go to the break. You're listening to the Pain and Wellness Hour. Nice job by both. Well done. Two very real people sitting across from us here in the studio today, and it's nice to have them here on the Pain and Wellness Hour. Back in a moment.
If you're injured and need rehabilitation to fully recover, consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness in Center City, Philadelphia. If you're suffering from a diagnosed disease that is causing you great discomfort, consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. They will provide transportation to and from their Center City office. If you are confused, if you are troubled by your medical challenges, or if you feel hopeless because others have made you feel that way, consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainAndWellness.com.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step. A developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
And back here live on the Pain and Wellness Hour here on 860 AM WWDB. Thanks everyone for tuning in on the big day today. It's a gorgeous Tuesday afternoon around the Delaware Valley. We shout out to all of our listeners tuning in on 860 today down in Center City. And we say hello to them. We're talking to Valerie Petticone and Danielle Duffy, our special guest in the studio today from the law firm of Spivak and Spivak. We're in the middle of a conversation about not only learning about Danielle and Valerie, but also some of the trials and some of the challenges, J-Doc, that individuals who fall into a category of being injured find themselves in that uncertain water or that uncharted water. And it's certainly nice to have a comforting voice and a skilled attorney to bring them through the process.
Absolutely. We're talking about spoliation of evidence. And so would that be defined as the preservation of evidence, or if they try to get rid of evidence?
It's actually the opposite of preserving evidence.
Right.
It's when the evidence has been destroyed in some way.
Okay.
Yeah.
How often does that happen?
More often than you would think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm definitely.
And so somebody naively would think it would be in their benefit, but it truly isn't, because a jury, you know, in your case, it was a groundbreaking decision, that benefited your client, thankfully. Where the landlord or whoever they were did not present the evidence that they clearly should have had.
That's exactly right.
And the jury saw that right through it?
That's exactly right.
Got it. Well, look, anybody listening out there, save your video. Either way, it's not good to get rid of it.
Well, I think actually the lesson to take from that is if you have a fall, you may not necessarily know right then that how injured you are. And you may think, it's fine, I can just wait on it until it, and then if it gets worse, I'll go see someone. But the longer you wait, the more likely it is that they've gotten rid of it, and then it wouldn't be spoliation. So a lot of these places,
right, every 30 days,
tape over after 30 days, exactly. And so if you come to see me after 30 days, there's not a lot I can do for you if there was a video that now is missing.
Right. That makes sense, and so we'll talk at the slip and falls first. What's the first thing somebody should do, you know, if we're kind of segueing on to that, if somebody gets injured, they slip and they fall, they trip and they fall. There's oil on the floor and they take a slip and they hurt their back or something like that. What's the first thing they should do?
Document their injury. Document the incident. Report it right away. Take photographs if they can. Most important things that we see that come in the issues that come in the door, there's lack of documentation. I would encourage, obviously when you're getting injured, you're not thinking of suing right away, but it's so important to just document your injuries and document the incident.
I would agree. I would say everybody's got a phone now with a camera on it. Take that phone out and take a picture of exactly what it is that caused you to fall. That's the most, probably the most important thing you can do. And I know that's not what people are generally thinking when they first fall, but if they hopefully hear it here today, that'll ring in their ears to remember to do that, because once that's gone, you know, we may never be able to get it back.
What about medical attention?
Document. Go seek immediate medical attention and, you know, get your injuries documented.
You mentioned, somebody mentioned earlier, I think it was Danielle, that people don't, they're not naturally thinking about suing or doing anything like that. And like you said, they may not know how injured they are. So if somebody gets slips in the shopping center, and they're like, they go down hard, they hit themselves, but they're in a hurry. They got a big, long day. They didn't break anything, and they just are a little sore, and they decide, you know what, I got to get to pick my kids up or whatever. And they don't tell anybody. But then that's on a Tuesday. But then on Friday, they're feeling it, and it's getting worse. Is it too late to do anything at that point, or, you know, what do you do at that point?
I don't think it's ever too late. I mean, I think you would agree. I don't think it's ever too late. I think if that's what happened, then you start from there. I mean, go make a report about the fact that you fell. You know, go get the medical care and do what you need to do. But, yeah, I mean, sooner is always better. Time is not your friend in these kind of cases. But that happens all the time. We hear that all the time.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, it seems like a typical scenario where somebody, they trip, they fall, they're beat up a little bit. They don't realize. My wife was in a car accident one time. Her neck didn't. It literally, we had to go to the hospital for something else. But she got hit. Her disc exploded in her neck 6 months later. We didn't even put two and two together. I mean, she was sore. So in a slip and fall type situation, that's got to happen almost all the time. Where a couple days later, they're like, this just isn't getting better. Is it too? And what we're trying to say is it too late at that point? And at what point should they contact an attorney to represent their rights so they can preserve them?
Just to add on to the documentation, if that happens and the client documents it, say even 2 or 3 weeks later, it's important to go to good doctors, like we have Brent Weinerman and the Wellness Center, because doctors examine them and they can note contusions on their bodies, which actually will, you know, show that there's been some sort of impact, if it was a hard impact, even if it wasn't such a hard impact. So when you're there, to go back what Danielle said, it's never too late, as long as you again document, go to a doctor, and then go to a lawyer as soon as possible as well.
And to preserve your rights, let's talk about, you know, what, because I know I'm not an expert at slip and falls or anything like that, but I know that often in a, you know, in any type of case like that, there's blowback from the insurance company, you know, of the from the property. What type of, and an example would be, you know, the spoliation of evidence. In other words, they're pushing back hard. What type of types of things that they do to try to, you know, get rid of a case like this, or at least move it in their favor?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that I can speak to what kinds of things they do to try and get rid of a case. I mean, that's not the perspective that I look at it from, but certainly they're not trying to do you any favors. They're going to want to get statements from you and get you recorded saying certain things that later they can go back and use against you. The issue with the video, if they're not told to preserve it, they don't have any obligation to, they'll certainly get rid of that. And if there's an issue with something on the floor, they'll go back and clean that up or take it away. That's why I'm saying, if you're there, take a photograph of it, because once it's gone, once they've eliminated it, then it's a question about whether or not it existed to begin with. So, yeah, those are things that I see as issues.
Valerie?
I just wanted to add on, because it's so important to document what's happening, and we're saying that it's never too late, but it's important for the listeners who's ever listening this morning with us, that or this afternoon, that there is a 2-year statute of limitations. So you have to be, you have to worry about that, of course. So there is a time frame, and it's 2 years from the date that the fall happened. So we're saying in the hypotheticals that you were giving us, Joe, which were good, that even if it's 3 weeks later, we've had cases come in where they're, you know, a month or so later, and that makes it more challenging, but you can still do that. Obviously, it's better in the beginning, but you only have 2 years to bring a claim for premises liability.
No, you in that
or
case,
third party claim. I'm sorry.
And in the case you had referred, we you had mentioned, Danielle, that that the individual was walking down the street, but there was also, they were walking with a friend. Did that witness help in the process?
That was a unique situation. Yes, we had to find that friend, which required some investigation on our part. But yes, once we found him, that was helpful. So it is good if there is a witness there, whether it's your friend or someone else, to get their information also. That certainly can't hurt you. It can only help you. Yeah, definitely.
Right. And of course, when something happens to them, like we said, I mean, that's why we have these segments, and that's why we introduce them to the listeners, to professionals like yourselves, because we don't know when this is going to happen to us. I mean, I got in a little fender bender, and I'm talking about little, and I was in a panic because my wife was in the shopping center, and I'm thinking, oh my God, when she comes out. And nothing ever came of it, but my point is it was little. Like, it was like maybe a scratch. Neither one of us went anywhere with it, but you're like in somewhat of a panic, even if it's a small, let alone something where you're really hurt. Let's segue a little bit into motor vehicle. Somebody gets in a car accident, you know, protocol. What are the most important elements to a MVA?
I mean, I think the same general concepts hold true here. If there are witnesses, get the witness information. If you can take photographs, take photographs. Definitely make sure you call the police and make a report. In Philadelphia, they don't come out for these fender benders. So if you have to go later to your local precinct, you should do that and make a report. Because if that other person doesn't have insurance, your insurance may require that you have made a police report. So even if they don't come out, go there and make a report.
We talked about tort, limited tort, and full tort. So there are things you can do to protect yourself. Hopefully you never get in an accident, but before it ever happens. What's the importance of full tort over limited tort? And does that have anything to do with full coverage and not full coverage?
Full coverage is not the same thing as selecting full tort. So a lot of times clients think that when they're fully covered, they think they're limited, they're full tort, but that's not true. So we have to keep in mind that insurance companies, they're a business, and nowadays they're doing things online. You're not even talking to an agent when you're getting your insurance quote. So you're just going online. You're trying, obviously, to get the best bang for your buck.
Right,
they're
exactly.
Not really understanding, but I'm telling you, if you have the full tort as opposed to limited tort, it will make the case a lot easier.
Yeah, so your injuries, the full extent of your injuries can get covered with the full tort, and it's a big day. And that's one of the things, if people aren't thinking about it, just define the difference in full tort and limited tort.
Yeah, so I think everything we're talking about today is just like, you know, taking care of yourself. It's like self-care. You don't know what's going to happen, but you prepare for the worst.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about being able to do here today. And the issue with full tort and limited tort is that in Pennsylvania, the legislature has enacted something called limited tort, which says that you pay a reduced premium and the insurance company only has to cover you for your out-of-pocket medical expenses. And if you're full tort, you actually get to sue for not just your medical expenses, but your pain and suffering or your non-economic damages. So the inconvenience of having to go to treatment and how bad your injuries are and how hard it is for you to be able to do everyday things. Those things are not covered if you select limited tort and you pay those reduced premiums. So that's the trade-off that you're making, and I think a lot of people don't really understand that trade-off. So there are ways, if you have limited tort insurance, to, it's called, we call it, it's a term of art called piercing the threshold, but that means that you would then be able to sue for your non-economic damages, your pain and suffering, even if you select a limited tort. But you don't want to have to be in that position and take that risk.
Your contact information, if anybody wants to get in touch with Valerie Petticone or Danielle.
Spivak, we're at Spivak and Spivak, 215-546-0005, 215-546-0005. We are, our main office is in Center City, Philadelphia, 1528 Walnut Street. We have a bunch of satellite offices.
Also, is there any out-of-pocket costs, upfront costs for retaining it?
There's no cost when you come to see us. We work on what's called a contingent basis, so unless we're able to obtain money for you, you don't ever owe us anything.
So I tell my clients we're motivated to get you paid because that's how we get paid.
Well, I want to thank you both for being on the broadcast. Great information. These are the things that listeners need to know every day, and they need to understand. I'm getting hit from the side here. We're going to come back after the break, and we're going to talk back to Dr. Talon, but we're also maybe going to engage both of you into that conversation.
It's the Pain and Wellness Hour here on 860 AM WWDB. Special thanks again to Valerie and Danielle Duffy, both of Spivak and Spivak. I hope the listening audience gets a chance to feel the passion in their voice for you, the listener, and that's why they're in studio today. Thank you much. We'll take a commercial break. When we come back, Dr. Polina will join us for a moment as he's on the line. Dr. Talon's still here in the studio as we roll on.
Meet the doctors of Weinerman Pain and Wellness located in Center City, Philadelphia. Dr. Albert Talon, with over 40 years of medical excellence, you're in good hands. Dr. Michael Polino, specializing in the treatment of medical disorders like fibromyalgia. And Dr. Brent Weinerman, the ultimate medical professional who will treat you with an unconditional commitment to surpassing your highest expectations. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainandWellness.com. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the Y. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody.
All right, welcome back to the Pain and Wellness Hour. This is Jay Doc. I'm pinch hitting for Krause for the rest of the show, so bear with me here. Just had a fantastic conversation with Danielle Duffy and Valerie Petticone of Spivak and Spivak. Talked about a lot of great stuff, and we're gonna head to the line, and we're gonna talk to Dr. Polino. Dr. Polino, are you on the show?
Yes, I am.
Oh, it's great to have you. The entire Delaware Valley is confused now because we started with Dr. Talon, and now we're ending with Dr. Polino. Maybe it's just me that's confused. Who knows? But welcome into the broadcast. Last week we spoke about the benefits of exercising and eating better foods for better health, more energy, and preventing disease. Can you kind of touch on that again for any listeners who missed it?
Sure. The simple statement, eating better foods, what that means to me. See, some people just say, oh, I'll eat a banana instead of a Milky Way bar. What it means to me is a little bit more involved.
What kind of fool would say that, but go ahead. sorry about that.
That's why people come here to understand what we know about eating better foods so that they can get a handle on it. Eating whole foods over processed foods is eating better foods. striving to eat anti-inflammatory foods. Now, when I say that, not everybody knows what that means. What are anti-inflammatory foods? Organic eggs, grass-fed beef, wild fish, nuts, seeds, all the vegetables in the world, fruits. Also, number three, you want to cut your carbohydrates. You know, back in the 70s and 80s, we thought we needed 40% of our diet to be carbohydrate. We don't anymore. It's 10%, 15%, okay? And that means, so you want to cut out the breads, pastas, and potatoes. Now, you don't have to cut them out. Making better decisions. You can go to an Ezekiel bread. You can go to a green pasta, like a zucchini pasta. You can get a sweet potato is much better for you than a white potato. So that's making better choices. Eating little healthy snacks. Now, this is a trick. If you eat throughout the day, you're likely to eat less during dinner. So I like to eat a good breakfast. I like to eat three healthy snacks throughout the day, skip lunch, and then I eat a healthy dinner. But I eat less for dinner because I've been eating every 2 to 3 hours. Now, when you eat every couple hours, your body stays in burning food for fuel. If I wait 5 hours between my meals, now my body takes the food that I'm eating and converts it to storage fat. Okay, so how you eat, what you eat, when you eat makes all the difference in the world. All right, avoidance. When I say dietary modification and elimination, that means I make better decisions with what I eat and I eliminate what's bad for me. Okay, I avoid cake, muffins, starch, candies, cookies, bagels, pretzels, all them starches. We avoid them. My last one is taking dietary supplements to support my lifestyle. Now, I always say this because it's critical. I know people in Philadelphia that are vitamin D3 deficient. They have vitamin deficiencies. And in this world, we shouldn't have that. Now, let's face it. If you live in Hawaii, you probably don't need fish oil and vitamin D3. You're in the sun every day, and half the food you're eating has fish in it. If you're in Florida, you probably don't need vitamin C. Half the food you eat on a daily basis probably rich with vitamin C. But you're in Philadelphia. You need both. Okay? You're not getting that every day. Okay. That is a simple way to break down making better food choices.
Now, Doc, you know, we've talked about this on several segments, but it's, you know, we talk about the grocery stores and we noticed that you go into some corner stores or grocery stores or up to 80% of all the food in the grocery stores are often processed. How do you navigate in a grocery store to actually find the good food?
This is what I did as I broke down my navigation through ShopRite. All right, and I like ShopRite because they offer holistic food. They have a whole aisle of wellness foods, and even in the regular aisles offer you better choices. So I use ShopRite. I use Whole Foods too. But for example, when you walk into ShopRite, the first thing you're hit with are fresh fruits and vegetables. Okay? I personally don't feel that there's any limit to vegetables. I try to pick 3 to 5 per week of vegetables and of fruits that I'm gonna eat. For example, berries are rich in antioxidants, bananas are rich in potassium, grapefruits stimulate testosterone production in men. Orange vegetables are rich in beta-carotene, which is a precursor to vitamin A. Green leafy vegetables are rich in B vitamins and minerals. Herbs are antiviral and antibacterial, so I always pick for my salad. I always pick up arugula, sage, and rosemary. Blueberries, for example, support brain function. You know, so fruits and vegetables. That's where you're getting most of your vitamins and minerals.
And we talked about the outskirts of the supermarket.
And that's it. When you walk in, all I do is the perimeter of the store.
Right.
When I walk in, the first thing I hit in the perimeter, they're all Whole Foods, is fresh fruits and vegetables. Then the next.
I was wondering why you and I never bump into one another at the supermarket. Because I'm usually right where the Doritos are. Right, like in the center. That's what I thought. But I didn't even know there was fresh fruits and vegetables now. But thank God I can. This is why I love this show. But
And then listen. Then you go to the fish aisle. I stay away from fish that are grown on farms. Fish farms raise the fish on grain. Grain is inflammatory. That's why I avoid my breads and my pretzels and all that. Because grains are inflammatory. And we've talked about this before. If you have inflammation in the gut lining, that is the onset to about 80% of the diseases that we face in this country today.
Sure.
If you take care of your gut lining, chances are you'll be faced with the usual high blood pressure, maybe pre-diabetic. You know, your food, we are what we eat. better we eat, the more we exercise, the less likely we are to have to deal with diseases the last 20 years of our life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what our goal is here. It's a wellness. It's a wellness lifestyle, right? So the bottom line, I go to the fish aisle. I avoid the fish farm products. I like wild fish. But if I'm going to go with large fish, you got to limit that to one, maybe two times a week. Why? The larger the fish, the more mercury in it. Tuna and salmon are large fish. Mackerel's a small fish. You know, things like that. That's what I look for. Meat. I always go to grass-fed meat, 100% chicken, organic chicken, and organic eggs. Why? Because, listen, I don't eat this stuff 100% of the time. But when I'm home, I can eat better, and I choose to do that. When I'm out, you know, I go to a picnic, I go to Thanksgiving, I know they're not cooking, you know, organic turkey, but I'm going to eat that turkey. All right, so, but when I'm home, I make these better decisions, and guess what? I don't have a weight problem. I'm not on medicine. I have to take no medicine, you know, because I follow these simple lifestyle tips.
Doc, even during we launched the show and talk about the Eagles and all that, and during the ball game, and that's typically when I blow my diet that starts on Monday, on Sunday. You know, healthy snacks and healthy food during those types of occasions, those healthy snacks would probably obviously be better than the chips, the pretzels, the dips, the Doritos, all those things that you can have in moderation, like you said before, but
right.
Putting something together and being creative. Is that correct?
That's correct. Listen, moderation to me is once every other week. I don't eat bread every day. I eat it every second or third day, but I do like, you know, bread. And another trick, you know, we're going to talk about how to keep your weight down. Matter of fact, I just want to say...
Well, we got about a minute, Doc, so we may have right. to, you know, we may finish
we'll
up on
it. We'll talk about that next week.
Right, we'll talk about that next week, but go ahead.
We'll talk about that next week. To finish up with how I shop, I go to the dairy aisle. I want to go with a half gallon of fat-free milk, or I alternate that with almond milk. I don't always buy regular cow milk. Sometimes I alternate it because I know that we are the only mammal on the face of the earth that drinks the milk of another mammal. And that mammal, the IgA, the IgE, the immune factors, the antibodies that are in that milk are different than ours. So I can create autoimmune diseases by continuing to eat large amounts of dairy products. So I try to keep them to a condiment size, not a staple size.
Doc, we're gonna finish up next week with the great information that you're giving us. Certainly, right. you know, this is practical information people can use every day. Want to thank Dr. Michael Polino. Thanks, Doc.
All right, see you next week.
All right, you've listened to the Pain and Wellness Hour. I want to thank Valerie Petticone, Danielle Duffy of Spivak and Spivak, Dr. Albert Talone of Weinemann Pain and Wellness, Serious Doctors for Serious Injuries. I want to thank Joe Krause, and tell you, we'll see you next week.